to Hebrews chapter 11. We'll have a word of prayer before we read. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for another day of life, dear Lord. We thank you for a beautiful day that you provided with us out there, dear Heavenly Father. And Lord, we're thankful for your goodness to us, dear Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful for a land that we have freedom, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, as we see things going on in other parts of the world, dear Lord, and especially when we think about Israel and the destruction, the bombing, the wars, dear Heavenly Father. And dear Heavenly Father, we see some of those videos or pictures, dear Heavenly Father, and Lord, our hearts go out to them, dear Lord. Dear Lord, we see pictures to where at one time they were just going day-to-day life, dear Lord, in their homes and areas are destroyed, dear Heavenly Father. And Lord, we live in a home here, live in a place to where we're protected to a degree, dear Heavenly Father. And we're thankful for the United States, dear Heavenly Father, and we're thankful that you blessed us in a special way. And we ask you to keep blessing us, dear Lord. We ask you to give us leaders and all development of the leaders, dear Heavenly Father, that they'll have a desire to protect the American people, dear Lord. So, Lord, we're thankful for your goodness to us. We're thankful for your love. We're thankful for salvation, dear Lord. And as we mentioned, we're so thankful for the Word of God. So, Lord, as we open up the Word of God, dear Heavenly Father, we ask you to help each and every one of us, dear Lord, to take it in, dear Heavenly Father, upon our hearts, our minds, our souls, that we may grow and increase in faith, dear Heavenly Father, and we'll certainly thank you for that. Yes. Anoint me that I'll bring it as you would have us to, and anoint the Word. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Amen. In Hebrews chapter 11, and I guess if any one of you know the word, as I mentioned a little bit ago, you know when I say that chapter, the entire chapter we consider the faith chapter. In my Bible, out on the index, it says the roll call of the heroes of faith. And you've read it, I'm certain you've read it, I'm trusting you've read Hebrews 11 many, many, many times. And it gives so many different characters in here that are in Old Testament, even some New Testament and things, and how they stayed faithful. And we're just going to read verse 1 and 2 here, maybe pick up another verse or two here throughout this chapter. But verse 1 and 2 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. That's always a very sobering verse in verse 2. And as saints, whether we're young in salvation, young Christian, or we've been around for a while, verse 2 says, for by it, and that word it means faith, for by faith the elders obtained a good report. By faithfulness, by the consistency of things. And when we think about this chapter, the chapter tells us about the people in this chapter, how they've made heaven. And as I said to you a little bit, the roll call of the heroes of the faithful, and all these ones here in this chapter have discussed and mentioned, and this is just a few of them, that they've made heaven their home by faith, by just being faithful, credited faith, things that they've done. And it goes on through Abraham and Moses and all the different ones. We're not going to look at that this evening or this morning at all. It says that all these ones, they obtained a good report. Each one of them obtained this through faith. And so we're thinking about the word of faith this morning, talking about faith. And we know, and we're going to read another scripture later on in the message here, where the Bible tells us that we need to study to show ourselves approved unto God, and to study to be able to rightly divide the word of God. You know, a lot of times people like to be draw controversy about the word. Well, the word says this, and the word says that, kind of conflicting with one another. And we're going to read a verse here in just a moment, again, in a little bit here. But when we think about faith, of how important faith is. Now, the writer here, he says, by faith, for by it being faith, the elders obtain a good report. By faith, those ones that are mentioned in this chapter and many other ones have made heaven their home. We've known many here in our congregation and throughout our lives. We have confidence. We have the utmost confidence that today they're enjoying heaven. Why? Because of their faithfulness. because of their consistency. They got saved and just consistent day in and day out for years. Long time they've just been faithful. And they died staying faithful right up to the end. The Bible says, he that endureth to the very end, the same shall be saved. If we have any intentions of making heaven, and as I said, reading the Word of God, being able to please, having to know the Word of God, pleasing God, we have to have faith to please God. I'm going to jump ahead a little bit here, and I'm going to come back to it. And verse 6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Everything again, backing up what I said. I think it's over there in James or Timothy there. I think I got it written down somewhere. I think it's in Timothy. Timothy there, it says, to study, to show thyself approved unto God, rightly dividing the word of God. So when I just read to you Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it is impossible to please God without faith. Well, there's another chapter in the Bible that we call the love chapter, which is over in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And in verse 13, it says, it goes down through that whole chapter talking about love. And it says in verse 13, that now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. So I read to you verse 6, without faith it's impossible. And I read to you 1 Corinthians 13 and 13. It says, of the three, faith, hope, and charity, the greatest is charity. And we know we have to rightly divide the word. The Bible talks about faith and works together. You can't have faith without works. Some people say, I have faith and they have no works. Some people say, I have works and they have no little faith. They work together. These work together. So, but this morning we're looking at faith here and how important it is. And in chapter 1 Corinthians back over there, it goes on into the second chapter. And it says, if you have faith to remove mountains, and have not love, it's of no value. So it is important to have faith, but it's also needful to have love. The Bible lets us know that God is love. God desires us to have love. We can't put one aside and out the other, or rise one above the other. So he does say there, he says, without faith, he says, you can have faith to remove mountains and have not love, you're of nothing, of no value. But back here in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, we already read to you, I jumped ahead a little bit. He goes, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And I want to look at faith this morning. And how's your faith? There again, we talked about faith, love, hope, charity. Jesus says one time, they asked Jesus a question, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus says the two greatest commandments is love the Father. I love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The second is likened to this, I love your neighbor. So he talked just kind of referring back to different things of the importance of love and faith. But I believe that there's a strong word of love, but faith is also of great importance. What do we think about faith in general? When we think of the word faith just in the natural terms of faith, we can prove it by those things. If I have faith faith in someone or something, it's because I've proven it. If I have faith, if you're an individual you're going to come pick me up at 6 o'clock in the evening and you're there at 10 of 6, all the time, or I recognize that you're there early. I know that. I prove that sometimes. Well, the same scenario, same thing as someone is late. I tell you to be there at 6, and you're there at 6:10, 6:15, then you get understanding of that. You prove some people of how they are. You prove people by their faithfulness or their lateness or how they do things. When we think about faith in the natural things, it's because we've proven some things. Or you've tried some things. You know, I often think about when there's a covered dish. Sometimes we have covered dish parties. Everybody bring a covered dish. Most of the time, someone that brings a covered dish, especially if they make something, people may go buy something, but people make something, they make something that they've made multiple times. They usually don't say, well, I'm going to try this recipe and bring it somewhere that they've never tried it. They've made it, and it's been a very successful dish. Everybody enjoys it. They might make the dish and bring it, and it's always eaten up a lot. I've been to several covered dishes sometimes and in my life, and whoever has made a certain dish, I may look at that particular dish, and that may not appeal to me. But other ones sitting around me, they've eaten that dish, or they're eating it now, and they said how good it was. And the person may say, they say, I make it all the time, and everybody loves it. There was a dish in Hagerstown, nothing special, it was a particular salad, but it's how I like the salad, and I really enjoyed it. And I was talking to Brother Doug later on, and he says usually it's a family favorite. He says it always gets eaten up. But there are sometimes, as I said, I may look at a particular dish, I may not have a desire, but because other ones say it's so good, they enjoy it, I may go and try it just because everyone else said that. And if I tried it, I said, yeah, this is really good. I've tried it. I've proven it. And that's happened many and many a time. So when we think about faith, you're not going to make something that you're pretty sure that everybody's going to like, or a majority. We try some things. It's a tried situation. I can remember another example I'll give you here in a little bit. I can remember, I mentioned this the other night when we were going to Hagerstown. I can remember when GPSs first came out. And most of the time you use it, we bought the units. We bought the little, whatever they were, the TomToms, I think was one, and you plugged it in. You know, we had to get used to that, have faith in that. It says, you know, you're going down the road. You may not have a clue where you're going, but there's an accident, and it diverts you and takes you this way. Well, I don't know if that's right or not. Do I sit and wait in the accident, or I try it? And I try that, and it brings you out, and it does you better. Now, today, most of us that use GPSs, we are familiar with it. We just plug in a number, and we don't even second guess. It just takes us right to the place. Sister Carol has a car that we took to Hagerstown. And then we're going down the road, and as I've got my hands on the steering wheel, and we start to go around a corner, I notice the wheel's kind of messing with me. I'm like, what's going on with this wheel? Well, I had it on cruise control, and I know there's a button where you can put it on where if you cross the line without the blinker, the wheel will vibrate. But I don't know if she even knew it either. You didn't know that, did you, what I'm going to tell them? I could take my hands off the steering wheel, and it went around the curves. It went around the corners. Now, I didn't take them off like this, but I held them right here. But that steering wheel turned on its own, and it went around the corners. And it straightened back up, and they'd go around the corners. I didn't trust a heavy corner. And I was very leery of it at first. But I know Teslas and things, they have that type of steering where you can take your hands off and they'll go around corners and things like that. But that's a thing we have to get used to and comfortable and try. I am not going to get into a car and just sit back and put my hands back here. I don't trust that. But in time, that may be a happening in years to come. Faith is something that we've proven, something we've tried, something we've used. Products maybe you all have used in the past. I'm not a big remembrance of a lot of things. I've mentioned this maybe in the past years. My wife was real, many of you have probably seen it, a thing called a Mr. Eraser. She used to use them, and I've used them many times. It's a little white foam thing. I don't know. You put a little bit of water. I'm telling you what, that'd take almost anything off. It's called Mr. Eraser. I've tried it. I've proved it works. Some things that we use, it works. Some things you've heard of. You know, I've mentioned in time past of me rebuilding transmissions. I've rebuilt the first one I've ever maybe seen. Even today, sometimes we get them coming out, the new ones, and I rebuild it, and I do the very best I can, and I give it back to them. Well, I'm not real confident that it's going to work because I've never done it before. But if I rebuild it, they put it in, and it works. You know what I'm going to do the next time? I'm going to build it just like I did the last time. And I'm going to continue to do that that same way every time, hoping to achieve the same results. So we think of faith in the general sense of sometimes we've proven some things, we've tried some things, we've used some things, we've tested some things. But in the Christian life of faith is believing in something can't touch. Believing in something that maybe you can't see, you can't understand. What faith may have worked for you last year, last week, last month, you may not be able to hold to that same faith. You have to get some new faith. Sometimes we get faith and just God helps us with faith. We just hold on to faith. We just hold on to believing in God, and God does the work for us. Maybe not lay it on down, and I've done that myself many times. I said, Lord, I can remember when I held faith to that. I'd like to have that same thing. It doesn't work that way all the time. We have to have new faith. We have to continue to hold on to faith that way. In the Christian life, faith, haven't necessarily tested or proven anything, faith comes, the Bible lets us know that faith cometh by hearing and not by proof. All these ones in Hebrews chapter 11 here, they all stood faithful, not by proving anything. Not by proving anything. Not by seeing the end results. Not by trusting in God and realizing the end results. As I said, some products you may use, I've used a certain product and I've seen the effects of it every time I've used it and expect it to be that way this time. But in faith of the things of God is not knowing the end results until the end. Abraham, Moses, Rahab, the harlot was in here. Many different ones that are in here. Jacob and Isaac and all these ones. Joseph, all these ones, they trusted in God without any proof that he was there. Philip was one that came to Philip, came to Nathanael one time, and he says, we found the one, the Messiah. You know what Nathanael said there? He said, can there be anything good come out of Nazareth? And Philip says to him something. He says, come and see. And we know the story behind all that. The Bible lets us know that we as saints, we need to taste and see that God is good. Faith. Let's go back over to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 verse 14 says, now then, how then shall they call on him whom they've not believed? How can you call upon Christ and you don't know anything about it? You've never heard of it. You've never been read the word. How then shall they call on him whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe on him whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And the first part of verse 15 says, and how shall they preach except they be sent? I mentioned many times, God ordains that we have ministers, that we have pastors, we have teachers to preach and to teach the word of God under the anointing of the Spirit of God. As a minister, as a pastor, and I struggle with it so many times, how many times people are confident that they're going to make heaven their home, but they sit under no gospel. They don't read the word. They don't study the word. They don't hear the preaching of the word of God. Now, I understand, I believe with all my heart, that if you're somewhere and there's not a true church or a true minister of God, that God can take care of you during that time. But when God provides those things, we've often mentioned here many times, not any of us, some of us were probably born and raised here in the congregation maybe and things, but some of us, we could have gone to many other churches, any church. But God delivers us, God helps us and brings us to the truth, teaches us some things if we'd have a desire. But he says, how then shall they hear on him whom they not believe? And how shall they believe in him whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Jump down to verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. If you reject hearing the word of God, you're not going to have faith. Amen. I mean, reject it. If you don't want to submit yourself to it, well, I don't need that. I don't need to hear that. I can stay at home and study. I can stay at home and read. If we do that, you won't have faith. You can have faith because God has ordained some certain things. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the preaching of the word. Do you have faith? Do you have faith that there is a home in heaven for you? I thank God we can have faith that there's a place for us in heaven. I thank God for the hope that I have. Not a soul in this earth has seen heaven. Not a soul upon the face of this earth has ever talked to anyone that has been to heaven and came back and said, it's great, you got to go there. Not one soul. And the only way that we can have any faith in heaven is by, through Jesus Christ and through the preaching of the word. Amen. I have a hope. I have a great hope. I thank God for the hope. That it is in this life, we're going to die one day. We're going to live out our years and however long the Lord allows us to live. And we're going to die one day. And it's only just a short period of time. The Bible says our life is just a vapor. It's just here for a little bit of time. And we're gone. And we're going to go into eternity. Either heaven or we're going to go to hell. And I thank God for the hope. That hope that we'll have a new body. That hope that our minds will be clear. Our ears, our eyes, everything. There won't be no pain. There won't be no sorrow in heaven. There won't be no death in heaven. There won't be no departing from one another in heaven. It'll be a glorious place. You say, well, how do you know that? Through faith. Through the hearing of the word of God. You know how many times the devil has tempted me sometimes? You're an absolute fool for believing in heaven and you have no evidence whatsoever. None outside of this word. And you know what? It bothers me sometimes. But I have to rebuke him, as we'll talk about with Jesus. I have to rebuke him, say, Lord, help me to rebuke the enemy of the soul. Yes. Because I have faith that there's everything. I'm putting everything, all my stock, that there is a heaven to gain. Amen. I hope. That's my hope. Do you have faith that there's a heaven? Are you acquainted with the word of God? Are you familiar with the word of God? Are you seasoned with the word of God? You know, I can take you over in Acts chapter 11, verse 26, and the disciples, they were called Christians at Antioch because they acted like Christ. Does your family and people you're around, do they know that you're a Christian because you have an understanding of the word of God? How many times have people ever came to you and asked you, what does the Bible say about this? You go to church, right? You read the word of God, right? What does the Bible say about this? I have some friends of mine, as I might have mentioned a little bit not too long ago, and their daughter's ready to have her first child, and then she's going to have it sometime right before Thanksgiving. And she's scared, you know, I guess reasonably so, just scared of the pain and things. And we were a couple months ago or whatever, and we were talking, and you know, and some of the other ladies that have children, and they were trying to encourage her, you know. And I found a verse in the Bible where the Bible, and I let her read it. I said, this is what the Word of God says. The Word of God says that as a woman gives birth, there is some pain, there is some travail, but as soon as a child is born, all that is forgotten for the joy of a child being born. I said, no, I can't testify to that myself, but that's what the word says. And trying to help her, to comfort her and everything, and I've been praying for her, and I ask you to pray for her. Her name is Stephanie, and I ask you to pray for her when you think about it in the next month, that God will help her to have a safe delivery, a well delivery. But people sometimes may ask you about the word of God. Do you have an answer? Do you have an answer for them? Do you have the word of God for them? You know, with Peter one time, you remember the story about Peter when they had taken Jesus and Peter followed Jesus from a distance. Everywhere they took him, Peter followed him, but he stayed a distance from him. And there were times that they recognized, aren't you one of them? You know, what a credit that was for Peter, but Peter didn't really want that credit, really. That wasn't something that he wanted to be recognized with. I'm not one of them. And that happened, I believe, three times. Because Jesus said, "If you'll deny me three times before the cock crows." And he did that three times. But the last time, the one, I think it was the young girl there that said, she goes, "You're one of them. Your speech betrays you." Now, I don't know what all conversation was going on. But this woman, she says, "You're one of them. You're one of them because your speech betrays you." After that, Peter cursed and swore. Why? I don't know what he was saying prior to that, but I believe he was conducting himself properly in a ring of sinners and a ring of things. And he may have even said some things to rebuke those that are saying that false prophet, they need to crucify him. And he may have said something. We don't know what all was said. We don't know how many records of that. But she said, "Your speech, something Peter said, betrays you because you're a Christian. You're one of those." Does the world recognize that you're a Christian? By your faith, by your consistency? Now remember what we read over in Hebrews chapter 11. The elders obtained a good report because of their faith. Does your neighbors know you're faithful? Does your family know you're faithful? Does your co-workers know you're faithful? And I know that takes a period of time sometimes. The consistency of an individual being a Christian day in, day out, week in, year out. Consistency being faith. Being of faith. Did he recognize that? Used to be a little saying sometimes. If you were put on trial, would they have enough evidence to prove that you were a Christian? If you were put on trial that you're a Christian, would they have enough evidence to prove to you, to prove to the jury that yes, you were a Christian of your actions? Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Second Timothy chapter 2, we quoted this already, but verse 15, he says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I brought a message in Hagerstown some years ago, and my thoughts were talking about school. You know, when we were in school and we had to study in school. Well, one of my thoughts were sometimes as we're in school and the teacher teaches us and gives us the lesson for the day. And at the end of the classroom day, she says, "All right, here's some homework assignments. I want you to take these home and study this. And tomorrow I'm going to collect the homework assignment. I want to see that you've done this homework." Well, you know, God's the same way. This is not the only place that we come and study. This is not the only place we come and hear the Word of God, to go home and to study the Word. I mentioned, and I can remember, I did this and I still do it. I we went to Hagerstown this week or Friday night. I always take some papers with me and a pen with me. Somewhere down in here. I've buried it. But I always take a pen and a pencil or a pen and paper and I write notes down. I wrote notes Friday night. And one was about a song. Another was a couple parts of the message and things like that. But when I first got saved, I didn't know the Word of God much. And as our former pastor would preach, I wrote every single verse down. And I went home at night and I studied those verses. I may have read the whole chapter. I had different ways of study. You study different ways. But this isn't the only place that we come and hear the Word of God. We should go home and take some time to study. Amen. Write some things. Say, Brother Doug mentioned something, or whoever the minister mentioned something. I'm gonna write that down and study. We should follow the Word of God. Personally, I don't care when ministers say, "I'll do it this way." 2 Timothy 2, now I might do this on occasion, but not most of the time. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman, needed not to be ashamed, rightly divided word. I've done read it. You don't have time to get there. I turn the pages. I go there. given you time to go and read it and see it and look at it for yourselves. Don't just take our word. You should never do. You know, I have on my phone Bible Gateway. I use it all the time. My phone, all my computers, I have Bible Gateway. I even have my Bible Gateway at work. I have it on my computer at work. And a lot of times I use my phone to study. And I'll give you an instance what I did the very this morning. And a message I'm considering working with. There's a verse in the Bible. It says, behold the goodness and the severity of God. That's all I'm going to give you for that. But I'll go to Google because it's easy. And I'll speak it. I'll say, the Bible says the goodness and the severity of God. And it'll show me that. And it'll tell me the scripture. It'll tell me where it's at. Sometimes when it does, it has shown me that on Bible Gateway. And I'll touch it. I did that this morning, and it brings the whole chapter up, and exact soon as I seen it and I recognized the form, it wasn't the King James form. Because how the King James would do it, it'd do chapter and verse, verse 1, period. Verse 2, period. And you go verse 3. Some of them would go verse 1, period, verse 2 right behind the period, and just I can tell the form of how it's written. It's not the King James. Or I can start reading it. And this is for instance, that verse, behold the goodness and the severity of God. I think the New International Version came up, behold the goodness and the sternness. That's what the word was. Behold the goodness and the sternness of God. Well, they're the same words as I looked them up in the dictionary. They're the same word. But let me tell you what, if I were to say, that person got a little stern with Brother Danny. Yeah, okay, you can understand that. But if I were to say that person was severe with Brother Danny, that's a different meaning. God can be stern with us. But there's a time God's going to be severe punishment there. So when we think about studying the Word of God, study the Word of God to show thyself approved, we need to study. We need to get into the Word. We need to know the Word. For when people out there in the world tell us something, they'll say something, and we know the word doesn't say that. We may correct them, or they may not be able to deceive us. Study the word to show thyself approved unto God. When we went to school, we had to study. I thank God our country some time back found it needful that children mandatory go to school. Learn to read. Learn how to do math. Learn how to write. Of course, you know in school today, I guess all of you know that, they don't teach cursive anymore. Remember how we used to learn cursive? You know, write your S's and your P's or whatever, the Q. They don't teach that anymore. They don't teach that things. Study some things. We had to learn some things. If you have an occupation, I didn't walk into an auto shop and say, hey, I want to be a mechanic. But what do you know? I don't know nothing. I don't have any tools. I don't know nothing. I'm not going to get a job, more than likely. I went to a trade school. Some of you gone to college. Some of you did some school. You had to learn some things. I remember when Brother Danny, when he retired from Bethlehem Steel, right? And he went back and he studied to be an HVAC, right? That was, and he had to learn that. And it's been good for him and successful. And other ones, we've had to study to learn a certain occupation. And you know, as we study that, and we want to, as he mentioned a little bit ago, getting a promotion there, we want to get a promotion in our occupation, we have to maybe increase. I've had guys sometimes, they get a job, I'm not going to buy any more tools. This is where I am right here. I'm not going to increase. But can I have more pay? No. If you want to have some more responsibility or you want to learn to do other things, then we can help you with your pay. But you have to study to learn those things. Well, God is no different. Study to show thyself approved unto God. I was kind of smiling as Sister Carol said, you know, we've all been down that road sometimes. Lord, I have a need in my body. And we may testify and ask God to help us and things like that. And the devil just battles us. God's not going to heal you. God's not going to help you. You know you don't feel any better. You know, that's what the devil does. And sometimes we get to get into the Word of God, and the Word of God teaches us that he's a liar. We have to be familiar with certain terminology. I brought a message last week. I used certain terminology that I haven't used in years, talking about salvation, justification, conversion. Some of those things. Is, well, what does that mean? I remember when I first got saved, I wasn't saved too long, and my aunt that was saved here, she's going on to her reward too. I remember her asking me very clearly. I wasn't saved long. She goes, do you know what it means to be carnal? I don't know if I've ever heard the word until she said that. Nope, I don't have a clue. But she was trying to help me to come to an understanding of sanctification. But no, I know. And she never said anything else after that. Do you know what it means to be carnal? To have a spirit. You know, we can get saved. When God saves us, he saves us from all sin. But we still have a nature down in here that we got to get rectified at. We got to get under the submission of the Spirit of God. We have a carnal nature that we need to get ratified. We need to learn the terminology of certain things. Whatever job you are. You know, sometimes you can stand in the group of carpenters or an air conditioned man or a mechanic or whatever, a lawyer or whatever, and they'll talk foreign to you and I because we're not familiar with the terminology. As people feel that way when they're talking to you, they feel they're foreigners because you do know the Word of God. When it comes to being a Christian, are we seasoned in the Word of God? Are you familiar with the Word of God? Have you studied? Let's go to Matthew chapter 4. I'm not going to actually read that for time's sake. I'm just going to tell you a little bit about it because it's some other as it goes on down through there. But Matthew chapter 4 is the story when Jesus was tempted. He was pulled away and tempted by the enemy of the soul. And the Bible lets us know that he had fasted for 40 days. Fasted. You know what it means to fast? Now, we don't have the ability to fast for 40 days. That was special with Christ. I think Moses did it or somebody else did it too, I think. But that was special. And after it was over, the angels had to come and minister to Christ. But he had fasted for 48. Now, the word fasting means, this is not a part of the message, but the word fasting, talking about terminology and studying, the word fasting means not to have anything to eat or drink for a period of time, and to spend that time, you say, I'm going to fast through my breakfast. So as we get up in the morning, not to have anything to eat or drink, then we spend that time that we normally would be eating to go ahead and pray. Lord, I have a burden, I have a need, and it's that dear to me that I'm willing to lay my breakfast aside. And I'm going to fast maybe till lunchtime. And then by 12 o'clock, when it's time for me to eat my lunch, I'll go ahead and eat my lunch. Some people fast through breakfast. Some people fast all the way through lunch and even into dinner. Maybe a day or two. Depends on how greatly they're burdened and their need. So Jesus had fasted for 40 days and he was tempted by the enemy. And you know what he did as the enemy came and tempted him those times. And he said after being hungered for 40 days, he goes, if you're the Son of God, allow these stones here to be turned into bread. A very temptation to Jesus Christ being hungry. But in all the times that the devil tempted him there, not one time did he use his own strength. He said, the word says this. Jesus did that. Jesus was God. And Jesus said to the enemy, the word says this. Do we know the word? Do we study the word? When the enemy comes at us, you know, the world out there, sometimes they might bother. Let me tell you what, the enemy will come at us. Do we know enough of the word to fight the enemy of the soul? Said, well, this is what the word of God says. You're a liar, enemy. Or do we not have anything to tell him? The Bible lets us know that he's a liar. The Bible lets us know that the enemy, the devil, is a liar and the father of it. He'll never tell the truth. There's a song You know, thinking about studying the Word, and sometimes people will take worldly songs and hold them stronger over the things of the gospel. I've used this song many a times, and I actually printed out the lyrics to it. And this is the last part of this. The song is, I always used to quote the title of the song, but the song is called Love Without End. And this is the very last verse of the song. It says, last night I dreamed I died and stood outside those pearly gates. When suddenly I realized there must have been a mistake. If they'd known half the things I've done, they would never let me in. Then somewhere from the other side, I heard these words again. And they said, let me tell you the secret of a father's love. The secret that my daddy said was just between us. You see, daddies don't just love their children every now and then. A love without end is a love without end. Amen. That's touching. It sounds comforting. The man says, I had a dream. I'm standing outside the gates of heaven. But if they'd have known the things that I've done, they'll never let. He even acknowledged in himself that he knew that he should not have done those things. He says, but God says, I am a father of love. I brought to you the beginning. God says, we need to have love. Of the greatest, faith, hope, and charity, love is the greatest of all those things. Well, thank God for love today. But let me tell you what, there's a time, God's goodness and God's severity. God had love on you and I to give us life, to allow us to live, to have mercy on us. But now it's a time, how much faith did you have living for me? Those things sound good. And people will take that song over the Word of God. Jesus fought the enemy with three different temptations, and he fought him with the Word. Ephesians 6 and 16 says, take the shield of faith and quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Help our faith. My last verse, let's go to John chapter 5. John chapter 5, we're going to read verse 39. Jesus says here, search the Scriptures. Listen to what he says. Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. Amen. And they are they which testify of me. Search the Scriptures. Lord, am I saved? Search the Scriptures. Lord, am I going to heaven? Search the Scriptures. Amen. Lord, I want to please you. Search the Scriptures. Look into the Word of God. I think there's a song that says that. Look into the Word of God and then look at the way we live. Amen. The mirror. Bible lets us know this is a mirror. This is a mirror. You look into the Word, look in the mirror, and it's looking back at you. It's not looking at him or her or someone else. It's looking back at me. Search the Word of God. Know in the Scriptures that I am pleasing to God. Know in the Scriptures, the song we sing in the song book, I rise above all doubt and strife and read my title clear. You know, that's not always easy. Sometimes there's all kind of problems and battle. And the Lord, I don't feel saved. But by the grace of God, I haven't sinned. I haven't done anything that I know is sin. And by the grace of God, by faith, I'm just going to hold tight. You know, yesterday was kind of a gloomy day, wasn't it? Rainy, kind of cold. And you know, I guess there are some places in the world, you know, it might be like that all the time. I think I'd want to move. But we said how beautiful it is out there today. We had a kind of a gloomy, rainy day yesterday, but today, you know, sometimes we get that way spiritually. I don't feel saved. I don't feel good. I don't feel encouraged. I don't feel blessed. But you know what? Sometimes just hold faithful. Just hold faithful and trust in God. And sometimes when we're like that, holding to the things of God. Lord, I don't feel like I should. Maybe I'm going to go to God in prayer. And Lord, help me. Just give God the praise or blessings or thank Him, whatever. Have faith to believe, and then maybe tomorrow, whatever, God can lift you up. How's your faith this morning? We need to search to be able to please the Lord. If you want to search things in the world, you have to study. If you want to have faith, you have to study. That God can bless us in our faith. May the Lord bless you. That's what I was saying.
Let's open our psalm book and turn to page 144. 144.
He will save you. He will save you.